Find us online at RileyBuilds.com.
Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Nick McNamara with you. RCPD Director Brad Schoen across the table from me here in studio. And we wanted to talk a little bit about some traffic enforcement going on in the community as well.
Sure, yeah. We got, it's kind of an unusual move for us. It's actually a first, but there's a forerunner to what we're doing now. A couple of years ago, we conducted a public survey and asked people, what is it that you want us doing as a police department here? Because one of the things that's necessary when one enforces the law, and in this particular instance we're talking about, you know, traffic ordinances, is that people believe that what you're doing is just and fair. And if you're able to say, look, this is what the public wants us to do, then of course you get a little bit more buy-in. So we conducted a survey that identified, you know, different things that the public thought was important. And as it turns out, they were pretty much in line with the things that we had been saying contribute mightily to accidents around here anyway. Well, voila. I mean, when you're making the cake and you got the eggs here and the flour here, it all starts coming together. Even we as cops could figure this out. So we developed a program called ARC, Accident Reduction Citations. And in the first phase of it, what happened was when officers went out to enforce just generally and they ran across one of those violations that were the same as the ones that the public had told us were kind of a big deal to them, then we would have this little spiel we would give them that let them know that this is why we're doing it, because these are the sorts of things that cause accidents and we've surveyed the community and this is what they've said they want us to do in an attempt to kind of convey some reasoning behind what we're doing in an attempt to buy some legitimacy for our actions. And then we did another survey and figured out, well, yeah, it actually, you know, turns out the people who we've had contact with and given citations to and in these sorts of matters do tend to view it as more legitimate. Now, interestingly enough, the survey showed that of the people who you have this contact with, if you gave them a warning, they thought it was a whole lot more legitimate than if you gave a ticket that cost them money. But even among the people that it cost money, they tended to view it as slightly more legitimate. Okay, so looks like it's doing what we want. So we've now entered into what we call ARC 2.0, basically the second iteration of accident reduction citations. And if you've been tooling around Manhattan and you see signs up that say, hey, cops are going to be enforcing traffic regulations in this area, that's what we're doing. We'll have people sitting there waiting, looking for certain types of violations. And they're still the same types that the public identified to us years ago, but we've now taken the extra step. Well, now as opposed to just telling officers, okay, go out there when you see these types of violations and pull people over and write them citations for it, give them this conversation, have this conversation with them. We're now identifying certain areas where we see more accidents, and we're sending the officers out, and we're alerting the public via our social media, and we're putting signs up saying, we're going to be enforcing the traffic laws here. And we do the same thing once we pull people over. We explain to them what we're doing. We explain to them why we're doing it, you know, the accident reduction effort and all this sort of stuff. And we've kind of noticed on our social media, we're getting a decent amount of feedback, and it seems to be relatively popular. Now, there are, it's not popular, I guess. That's not the right word for it. But the public seems to approve of the notion of doing this sort of thing and appreciative of the fact that we're trying to reduce accidents. We have gotten a few comments that people just don't understand, you know, why we even put signs up to warn them. We should be just out, you know, writing these things, blah, blah, blah. But it all goes back to public perception and legitimacy. And frankly, it doesn't make much difference. We put a sign up that says, hey, we're going to be doing this, and people keep doing the same things. I mean, and I'm not surprised by that. We have DUI check lanes that will run around town. We have a grant from the state that we do these on. We'll advertise them ahead of time. They'll be in the paper. We'll put it on social media. And we'll still pick up, I don't know, a couple, three, four, five, six DUIs in a night at a two-hour check lane. So I don't think it makes a big difference that we're putting out the signs in terms of people changing their behavior, which I think is a rather sad commentary on society generally, but it is what it is.
Yeah, you already have speed limit signs up, and people still violate those.
Yeah, I mean, pick a number in your head. How fast can you go over the speed limit before you get a ticket? Everybody's got a number in their head. This is just the way it is.
Right.
So our job is to figure out, okay, yeah, you know, if we went around and we wrote tickets for every single violation we saw, people would be coming to the police department with pitchforks and lanterns. I mean, that's just the way it would be. So our role as the police department is to sort of be judicious in the application of those things and try to figure out what do we need to do this in the interest of public safety, and how can we go about doing it in a way that doesn't have people coming down to the PD with pitchforks and lanterns or going to the law board, you know, yipping about the fact that we're writing piddly little tickets for 3 miles an hour over or whatever. So we kind of got to walk that line. Now, you know, do we always walk that line perfectly? No, but that's the nature of walking the line. And so I would ask the public's forbearance if, you know, generally speaking, you see us headed the wrong direction, don't hesitate to let us know. But the time to do that isn't when you're getting a ticket. The time to do that is today. You know, call in and say, hey, you know, I don't like what you guys are doing, or we do like what you're doing, or, you know, comment on social media. We prefer thoughtful, lucid comments as opposed to profane ones, but we'll take what we can get.
You can't control that always.
No, you can't, but that's the nature of social media. I think it's generally, for us at least, it has more upside than it does downside, but you know, it has its downside. So
in addition, you mentioned lending legitimacy to your actions, but I think it also can help, you know, some people might not necessarily know just exactly the danger of what they're doing. And in the effort of being able to educate them and like talk them through why they're doing what they're doing, that might help maybe reduce some of these incidents.
Well, there is something to that, and it's kind of interesting you bring that up. I haven't checked for a while, but the last time I did check, the ratio of warning citations to real ones was either 3 or 4 to 1. So, you know, that tells me that the guys, what they're really after is compliance, as opposed to, you know, making money from municipal court or yeah. And by the way, we get no money from the tickets we write. It either goes to the county or the city. So, you know, it really doesn't matter to us one way or the other. So,
and I believe we have a caller. Caller, sure. Go ahead. You're on in focus.
Well, Director Schoen, as what you were saying about not always writing tickets and whatnot, I could definitely tell the difference when you came on in the northern part of the county. Things got a little, I wouldn't say lax, maybe a little more friendly than what they were before.
Is that good or bad?
That was good.
Oh, okay. Well, good.
Yeah, I could definitely tell the difference up here, and so could everybody else. As far as the money for police department, I've often sat there and thought, my uncle was a police officer for 25 years.
Really? When did he get out?
He's been off for probably 10, 12 years now.
Was it here?
Yes.
So I would have known him then. Okay.
Yeah, she would have known him.
Okay.
But I would look at it, and he was making $25,000 to $30,000 a year, you know, offering his life up every time he went out.
Yeah, and it's hard to support a family on that even, you know, 20 years ago.
Well, you know, well, and that was in 1980 when he started. But, but then you look at what some of the other people make at the county, and you're going, it's way out of whack. So I don't know how the law board ever gets that corrected, but...
Well, let me address that subject, because interestingly enough, right after I became the director, the board had already done a salary survey before I became director. So in the first 2 years that then Assistant Director Doling and I worked the PD budget, it was our job to implement that salary survey. So things have changed considerably since about, I think we finished with that. Yeah, I think the second year of that was in 2009. There might have been a few positions we didn't adjust till 2010. From what I'm hearing down at the PD, and, you know, as the director, sometimes what you hear gets a little more filtered than you'd like it to be, so sometimes I'll go out and ask the lieutenants and the sergeants. I don't think we've got a huge issue with pay right now. People, I think, are generally satisfied. You know, there's you're never going to satisfy everybody, but I think we're fairly competitive. And interestingly, the same people who did our salary survey also did the salary survey for the city and the county. So I think at this point we may all be kind of on the same page.
Oh, good, good. Well, anyway, good luck to you. Hopefully the next director has some common sense to him and go from there. So,
well, that always makes life a little easier when you have that. So I appreciate the call. Thank you.
And before, I know you have another engagement you have to get to, but and we're just about out of time before we have to head to a break. But I'd like you to comment just real quickly on your thoughts on how the director search is going, and maybe some of the mitigation efforts. Say they don't find a director before you go.
Yeah, not a problem. If you need to go on a commercial break or something, just let me know. But we just had the October meeting. At the October Law Board meeting, the board discussed the fact that the candidate they had selected had withdrawn his name from consideration. They are now advertising again. I think that ad is running now. I believe it started running a few days ago, something like that. And they were going to leave it open for a period of 3 weeks. I don't know, because I'm not directly involved in this. This is a board issue. But I think the generally accepted wisdom is that it's going to be difficult for him to get somebody in before I leave. It's no big secret, I think, and has been reported that Captain Hooper, who used to work at the PD, is now the chief at Hutchison, and Assistant Director Doling had retired earlier in the year, and I'm going to be gone at the end of the year. There are a number of projects going at the PD right now, whether it's the construction addition to the garage in the southeast corner of the parking lot, or whether it's prepping for the 2020 budget, or whether it's the radio infrastructure issue the county is working on, or the firing range. There are a number of projects for which the three of us were pretty much the repository of information as to where we are and how we got there. So what we've got to figure out now, because I can't stay after the first year, it will significantly and negatively impact my retirement check. What we've got to figure out now is, how do we put that information in the heads of people who are still going to be around here and make arrangements such that there's some continuity to those projects? So that's what we're focused on now. In fact, Kurt Moldrup is the interim assistant director until the new guy shows up and can manage to figure out what he wants to do about an assistant director. And he and I were having this conversation yesterday, and we've got some plots hatched to kind of do that. And we sucked one of the captains in the other day and said, okay, here's your function. We're going to provide you everything we know about how this project works. Start digesting this and be ready to go when the new guy shows up. Because, for example, on the budget, our accountant starts working on that in January for the 2020 budget. Staff starts working on it in February in order to have something ready for the law board in March. That's a fairly tight timeline when you're just walking in the door. I mean, even if you walk in the door in the middle of December, it's a tight timeline. But I'm there till the end of December, and if they walk in the door after I leave, then they've got even less time. So clearly we need to do something to start preparing for this. I'm going to be around town, and I've told everybody at the office, if you've got any questions, I'd be happy to answer them or come in and talk to somebody to kind of pass on information if we need to later. So we'll figure all that out. But I think it's important for people to know that this is kind of what cops do. And I mean, it's kind of stressful on us down at the PD. You know, everybody, the way one person put it to me was, we kind of felt like we knew where things were going, and then the rug got pulled out from under us, and now we're all, up in an uproar again. That was when the candidate withdrew his name. And I said, yeah, but realistically, this is no different than what cops do all the time, or corrections officers do all the time. You get a call about an incident, you're driving somewhere, you have no idea what you're going to find there, and you get there, and you figure it out once you get all the facts. That's what we're going to do here. When they figure out who the new director is going to be, and when that guy walks in the door, or gal walks in the door, we'll figure it out then. And we do this. We're good at this. Don't worry about it. We've got it. And there's a lot of smart people down there. I've maintained for quite some time that there was nobody down there so important, if they got hit by a bus tomorrow, that PD wouldn't function just fine, because there's a lot of people down there. Turns out it was a minivan, not a bus, but a misnomer, by the way. It looked plenty big to me right before I hit it.
So. Yeah, I can imagine.
So anyway, we'll be fine.
Director Schoen, there's a lot more to talk about, but unfortunately, you've got to hit the road. But thanks for coming in.
Yeah, not a problem. Good to be here.
All right, and that's it for this segment. We'll talk with Rich Vargo, County Clerk for Riley County, coming up after the break. So stay tuned for more In Focus here on News Radio KMAN.
And when he says, you got to hit the road, don't do that. In the sense of what you have hit the road in the past.
This is why they pay you to come up with this stuff.
That didn't cross my mind. That was not an intended pun.
The KMAN Morning Show is brought to you by M&S Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. M&S takes care of residential.